Very sobering song. A lot to think about. I sure am glad that God's love for me is not predicated on my love for Him. God loves me whether I love Him or not. It's kind of hard to grab hold of that because we're so used to loving people who love us. But I'm glad that God loves me despite of me.
Amen.
The Bible says that God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners,
Amen.
Christ died
Amen.
For us.
Amen.
Tell you, you ever get over that?
Right.
Number one, if you ever get a hold of it, your life will never be the same.
Right.
And if you ever get over it, well, you're in a bad place. You're in a bad place. Well, we're in the book of Romans, and I want to try to close out chapter 4 today. We've been kind of going through, can't say verse by verse, but we've looked at some of the main topics, and we've looked at condemnation. And when we looked at condemnation, it really came down to one verse. Paul summed it up in chapter 3 and verse number 20. You'll find this word a lot in the book of Romans. Look, if you would, in chapter 3, verse number 20. Therefore, because of all that I've said, therefore, he said, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Right? We're all sinners. And the law wasn't given to us to save us. The law was given to us to prove that we're sinners, to show us that God is holy and that we are not. So the law has never saved anyone. It's not going to. It wasn't even given for that purpose. And so when Paul said all are under sin, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, he says right here, therefore, by the deeds of the law. Listen, this thing of getting to heaven is not by doing, it's by believing. That's right. And he sums that up. He starts from here and he starts talking about justification. If you look in verse number 24, he said in chapter 3, being justified freely by His grace. And that's what justification is. It's free, and it's by grace. And so he said, this is justification. And then he begins to talk about justification. So he talks about condemnation, and we went through that, and he summed it up with this therefore. He said in verse number 20 of chapter 3, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall there be no flesh justified. And now he begins to talk about justification, and he comes to the second, therefore, in the book of Romans in chapter 5, and he sums up the content from chapter 3, verse 21, through the end of chapter 4 on justification. And this is what he says in chapter 5, verse 1, therefore. In other words, again, because of what I've just said, because of what I've just taught you. So there's the therefore of condemnation, and he summed it up by saying we're all under sin and that none of us can do enough good to get us to heaven. None of us can do enough good to reverse our sin. There's not enough good in us to get us to heaven. The only way we can get to heaven is by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And then he began to talk about that. Saving faith. How you can be saved in the grace of God. How you can have your sin forgiven. How you can know that you're going to heaven. And you can know. That's right. Now, I realize there's a lot of folks say, well, you know, now you can't know. Yeah, you can too. Oh, yes, you can know you're going to heaven. Not based on what you've done, but based on what Christ has done. See, my assurance is not resting on what I do. My assurance is resting on what Christ has done. And that's where all assurance should rest. If you're trusting in your works, you have no assurance. That changes every day. But the finished work of Jesus is not changing. Amen. It is eternal, settled in the heavens. Now, when you get to chapter 5, he says this, chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith. In other words, he spoke of condemnation, and now he spoke of justification. He said, here it is, it's by faith. It's by faith. And he said, because of that, look at verse number 5, verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, someone has said, well, you know, we're saved by faith. Well, let's back up a little bit. Faith is the element by which we receive grace. We're saved by grace through faith. In other words, the death of Christ, the burial of Jesus, the finished work of Jesus has given the bountiful supply of grace, but that grace can only be attained, listen to me now, Jesus died for the sin of the whole world. But the only way that death can be appropriated, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus can be applied, is by faith. See, the grace is there. The grace is there. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Jesus died for all men. The only difference between we who are saved and they who are not is not the grace of God. The grace of God is sufficient for every person's sin. It's the faith that has trusted that grace and applied that grace to their life. Amen. So we don't need to walk around thinking that we're all that. We have received the gift of faith so that we could access the work of grace. That's what Paul taught. Notice this, chapter 5, verse 1 again. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. By the way, the war is over, brethren.
Amen.
Amen. The war is over. Now, the battle still rages. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, my greatest battle was not with Satan. My greatest battle was with God. I was at enmity with God. See, man doesn't understand this until he gets saved. When you get saved, you realize your greatest battle, I was in enmity with God. I was an enemy of God. But when I made my peace through the blood of the cross, now I am at peace with God. And when I got saved, notice again, chapter 5, verse 1, we have peace with God, and it's only through our Lord Jesus Christ. I have peace with God not because of who I am or what I've done. I have peace with God because I have trusted what Jesus has done for me. You do too if you have peace with God. Now, if you do not have peace with God, you haven't trusted in what Jesus has done for you. And the Bible teaches in James chapter 4, you're at enmity with God when you're outside the grace of God. Now, this faith that I have appropriated, it has unleashed the grace of God in my life. Notice chapter number 5, verse number 2. By whom also we have access by faith. That's the only way. You don't get access into grace by works. Notice what the Bible teaches now. We have access by faith into what? This grace. That's the only way you can get God's grace is by faith. You can't earn God's grace. It's unmerited favor. Right? You can't earn grace. It's a gift. It's unmerited. And so Paul just lays it out just as clear as can be laid out, doesn't he? Just lays it out just as clear. So I want to talk to you about faith. See, Paul summed it up. Therefore, he said, I've talked to you about faith and justification. And he said, therefore, we have been justified by the faith that has unleashed the grace of God into our lives. He said, I want to talk to you about justification. In chapter number 4, it's a great chapter on justification. And we talked about, look in verse number 1, we talked about, first of all, we talked about Abraham and what he discovered. He discovered, if you look at the last question, the last phrase of chapter 4, verse 1, what has Abraham found? In other words, what did Abraham discover? Well, he discovered, and we went through this, that God will impute unto you his righteousness when you believe his word. That's right. Then he said David didn't discover it only, David described it. Look in verse number 6. He said David described it. David also describeth the blessedness of this man unto whom God imputeth righteousness, saying in verse 7, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Watch this. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So Abraham had righteousness added to his account, and David, the negative side of that same coin, did not have sin imputed to his account. We made a switch. My sin to Jesus, his righteousness to me. See, that's what being saved is, brethren. That's what being saved is. When you get saved, you not only get your sin forgiven, you get clothed, you have deposited onto your account the righteousness of Jesus Christ, so that when God looks on me, he doesn't see me in my sin. He sees me in the righteousness of his Son. He does all save people that way. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I'm glad Paul opened this up to us. I'm glad God spoke to Paul and said, tell them they need to know this. Amen. But then he said, not only is there what Abraham discovered and what David described, he said, I want to declare unto you, and that's what we're going to spend a little time on. I want to declare unto you about faith. Now, we've been talking about saving faith. So I want you to stay with me a little bit here. Now, listen, you cannot get saved outside of faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ that unleashes the grace of God into your life so that you can be saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Amen. It's not by works of righteousness. There's no one ever worked to get to heaven. No one. And it's not faith plus works. Now, some people say, well, I'm saved by faith and works. No, it's faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. And so he said, I want to talk to you about the difference between being saved and not being saved is saving faith. The grace of God, I hope you will take hold of this now. The grace of God is for all people. See, don't buy into this. Listen, it's crooked theology. It's mixed up that Jesus only died for certain people. No, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christ died for the sins of the whole world. 1 John chapter 2 says that he died for the propitiation of the sins of the whole world. I'm going with the Bible on that one. Not some crooked theology. Not saying that to sling mud, just stating facts this morning. Staying in the Word and stating facts. Amen. And so, don't think now, well, you know, I sure hope I'm one of the chosen. Well, listen, if you want to be, you can be.
Amen.
Just choose grace through faith.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And God will save you by his amazing grace.
Amen.
And so don't you buy into that, well, I hope I'm one of the chosen few. Well, listen, if Jesus died for you, if you want to believe that he died for you and you want to exercise the gift of faith to unlock that grace onto your life, you can do so by trusting Christ
Amen.
As your personal Savior. For whosoever, later on in this book, Romans 10, verse 13, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm part of that whosoever crowd. Amen. Now, it may not be whensoever.
Right.
May not be howsoever. But it is whosoever.
Amen.
That's right. That's the Word of God, brethren. I'm staying with the Word.
Amen.
Now, what happens here is Paul says the difference between people that are saved and unsaved, and we're getting ready to move to a whole different category of faith. He said the difference between saved people and unsaved people is faith has trusted in the finished work of Jesus that has unleashed the grace of God for the forgiveness of sin. That's the only difference. Saved people exercise the gift of faith to unleash the grace of God on their life. Unsaved people have not yet done that. You say, well, we must be special because we worked up, we generated some faith. You don't generate faith. Faith is a gift. Listen now. Faith is a gift. God gives us faith. That's something God has chosen to do. He has chosen, I should say. He has chosen to give us the gift of faith when we want to believe his word. You believe God's word, God will give you the gift of faith. I remember the night I got saved. I had been asked a question that night that I'd never been asked before in my life, never even really thought about it. The man who was dealing with me asked me a question. He told me that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Don't know that I'd ever thought about that in my life. I was 19 years old. I lived in what's called the buckle of the Bible Belt, Greenville, South Carolina. The buckle. and never ever thought of, in my, as far as I know now, was Jesus Christ born of a virgin? And when he asked me that question for a split moment now, I thought, never really thought about that. And I mean, listen, I didn't see a vision. I didn't feel, you know, warm and fuzzy and tingling up my spine. But I know God gave me the gift of faith in that moment to look at that man in his face and say, yes, I do. I do believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. The gift of faith. The gift of faith. See, I had heard the Word of God throughout some childhood years sporadically, and God took that Word of God. Listen, it doesn't take but the faith as the grain of a mustard seed. I think sometimes we think, oh, it's got to be cartloads of faith. No, I just exercise what little faith that God gave me, that gift, and I exercise it. And I made a decision. I acted upon the gift that God gave me. I got saved that night. But it was a gift. It was a gift. The gift of faith. I didn't earn it. God knows I didn't earn it. And by the way, you didn't either. So I was a good person. You didn't earn it, and you wasn't a good person. Amen. Amen. Let's set the record straight on both of that. So we're getting ready to move on from the difference between saved and unsaved is the gift of faith. Now, what's the difference? We're getting ready to move to a whole different section here, so don't miss this. The difference between victorious Christian living and those who live in defeat. Perhaps this morning, God has sent you to Fellowship Baptist Church as a member, as a guest, as a returning guest, or someone who is joining us by live stream, and you say, well, I'm saved, but you know what? I'm not living victoriously. The difference between those who live victorious and those who do not is faith. It's not saving faith, though. See, that's the difference between those who are saved and those who are unsaved. Saving faith. That's called justification. Now the apostle's getting ready to say, you want to live the victorious Christian life? Do you want to have strong faith? Do you want your life to give glory to God? See, when I exercise saving faith, I exercise the gift of God that brings salvation. But when I exercise strong faith, that brings glory to God and maturation. That's how you mature in the faith. You just believe what God says. See, I got saved by believing what God said. When you read these scriptures, you keep finding this word called promise. Look in verse 13. When God speaks to us about faith, He's speaking to us about something He has declared, something He has said. In verse number 13, the Bible says, for the promise. You see that? The promise. All right, look at verse 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise. See, God's concerned about the promise. Abraham got concerned about the promise. God made Abraham a promise. And God said, Abraham, are you going to believe the promise? Look, if you would, in verse number 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise. Look, if you would, in verse number 20. He staggered not at the promise. Look at verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised. See, God said, when I make a promise, I need you to act on it. Because God said, I never lie. If I say it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I remember shortly after I got saved, me and a buddy of mine were together, and he had just gotten saved, and he used to have this saying. He said, listen, he said, when I tell you something, he said, you can take it to the bank. If I tell you a cow gives chocolate milk, get your bucket ready. Listen, some folks act like God hasn't spoken. Some folks act like, well, maybe God's going to do it. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. That's why you're defeated. The Bible says, write this verse down, 1 John 5:4, and this, not these, and this is our victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We'll say that again, 1 John 5:4, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You want to have victory? Got to have strong faith. If you don't have strong faith, You're going to live in doubt. You're going to live in derision. You're going to live in discouragement. You're going to live in defeat. But if you have strong faith, you'll give glory to God. And you will not stagger at the promise of God. So the Bible says, if you want to be saved, you got to exercise saving faith. That's a gift. Now, once that gift is given, you possess it. God doesn't take his gift back. You have faith. Now, you need that faith to be strengthened. You followed me? See, it came as a gift. But God's not through. God wants you. God wants me. God wants us as believers to strengthen that faith. We have received that faith as a gift to believe that what Christ said he done, his finished work. It's no different than Abraham. We'll get to that in just a moment. Let me give you just a few principles here around some words. First of all, I see the gift in verse 16. Would you write that word down? Just a gift. It's a gift of faith. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace. It's a gift. God gave it. You didn't earn it. He back in verse 13, he said the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. It's not by something you do. It's not by keeping a set of rules. You see what Paul was saying? Faith doesn't come by doing things. Faith comes by believing God. Somebody say amen with me this morning. Now listen. We if we're not careful, we're so works-oriented. We're so bent on doing something. God doesn't concern. Listen, yes, God does want us to do something because we are his workmanship. But that comes later. That comes after we have exercised a belief in the promise. Then we receive God's grace. We receive the gift of faith to receive God's grace. And now God says, now I want you to exercise your faith. I've given it to you as a promise. Exercise it. How do you exercise faith? Well, the same way you exercise your body. You do something with it. You put it into action. That's right. Boy, I tell you, when I do some things that I don't do a whole lot, I exercise some muscles that I don't exercise. I put them into action. My body tells me. You'll know when you're exercising faith. It's not by doing things necessary. It's by believing them. Believing them. I think if we're not careful, we'll think faith is based on behavior, and it's not. Now, that'll come. You have to believe. As a matter of fact, Abraham did that. Notice it down here in verse number 20. He staggered not at the promise of God, look at this, here's our word, belief. Abraham didn't stagger. It didn't shake him up. It didn't knock him off course. He wasn't in unbelief. He believed. That's where it comes in at. But not only did he believe the promise, notice what the scripture says in verse number 21. He exercised that faith because the Bible says in verse 20, he was strong in faith. And verse 21 says, he was also fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. In other words, he said, I believe the promise, but I also believe that God has the power to perform the promise. Do you? Do you believe that when God said he saved you, you're saved? Or do you think you're going to have to keep doing something to remain saved? The Bible doesn't teach that. Go back with me to verse 16. And it says this, therefore it is a faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure. I like that. Amen. It's sure. See, if it was based on me and what I do, or you and what you do, it wouldn't be sure. It'd be just as unsure as we're unsure. But it's certain, brethren. I'm saved and it's certain. Amen. I'm certain. Amen. Why? Because I'm certain that what God said I needed to do to get saved is what it takes to be saved. And that is to trust in the finished work of Jesus. Have you trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Has there ever been a time in your life that you realize, as we've looked in the book of Romans, that you are a sinner, you've fallen short of the glory of God, there's not enough good works in you? Listen, there's none good. None of us. But yet, in his goodness, God is good. And he sent his son to die for us who are not good. And if we would believe in the fact that he died for us and he was buried and that God raised him from the grave, the Bible says we can be saved. That's the Bible way to be saved. That's the Bible way. So I'm not trusting on, well, now I've got to do this and I have to do this and I've got to do this deed and this deed. You ought to do right now when you get saved. So somebody say amen with me. You ought to live right when you get saved. But you, listen, you and I getting saved is not predicated upon us doing right. It's predicated upon faith in the finished work of Jesus. But now if we're going to live victorious, what have we got to do? We're going to have to exercise faith. Did Abraham do that? Let's read down here and see. Let's see some of the things that Abraham did. And that God did for him. God does this for me often. And I know he does it for you too. God's just good this way, brethren. He's just good this way. Look, if you would, in verse number 17. He said in verse number 17, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations." This is God speaking to Abraham. "Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were." Now there's two things here that I want you to circle or at least keep in your mind. There's two things that God says, if you're going to have strong faith, now listen to me now, you're going to have to believe this. This will help you get strong faith. I like one guy's definition that I read after this past week. He said, strong faith is you having big problems and having a bigger God. And that's true. I mean, listen, there's probably a few times that our faith is exercised as much as it is in adversity. Adverse situations will exercise our faith or at least give us an opportunity to. Are we going to trust God to get us through? Are you going to trust God to get you through? Now, here's two things that Paul wants us to know that gave Abraham strong faith. Did you see them there in verse 17? Number one, God can bring alive the dead. He quickeneth. That's what it says in verse 17. Number one, that God quickeneth. He quickeneth the dead. And then he calls something out of nothing. He calleth those things, verse number 17, which are be not as though they were. Now, how did God do that for Abraham? Well, first of all, God gave Abraham a promise. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to me. And the promise was, he said, you are going to be the father of a multitude of people. Well, when God gave Abraham that promise, he was 75. And Abraham was able at that time to procreate. Did you know that? When God gave Abraham this promise, Abraham could bring forth seed. You say he could? He did. He did. Not only could he did. He went into Hagar. And he and Hagar brought forth Ishmael. But God said that's not the promised seed. Amen. Because God said before I'll ever, now I want you to listen to me now, before I'll ever unleash this grace into your life, it's not going to be by your effort. You're going to have to recognize yourself as dead. You following this? Before you'll ever experience the grace of God, you got to realize when God said that you need to be quickened because you're dead in your trespasses and sin, God means it. As long as a man keeps going to God and saying, now God, I need to be saved, but I know I'm a good person, and I just want to get saved so I can go to heaven, until you are bankrupt, until you say, I'm dead. I can't, listen, I cannot do it. I need the grace of God in my life. You'll never get saved. And when God gave Abraham the promise, Abraham could procreate. Abraham could bring forth seed. He went into Hagar and he did. And God said, nope, that's not what we're looking for. That's the works of the flesh. God waited until Abraham was dead in his body. Dead. He could not bring forth seed. 99, 100 years old. Sarah, her womb was past bringing forth child. God waited until man couldn't do it. You following the train of thought here? It's very important that you see why the Bible says that this was not written for Abraham's sake alone, but for our sakes also. You'll find that down in verse number 23 and 24, because that's what God said. God said, the same principle that I gave Abraham, I'm giving you. Until you realize that you can do nothing to get yourself the promise of God because you're dead, then you're not going to get it. And that's the way your faith is strengthened. You must believe that God can bring life from death and something from nothing. Could you imagine when Abraham was 75, he probably thought, I think I can do that. 75, I mean, it's kind of old, right? But I think I can do that. I mean, we're on the backside here, me and Sarah, but I think we can do it. We'll bring forth a number of people as the stars of the sky. Right? We'll do it. And God waited until he got older and said, no, you can't do it. And then Sarah laughed. And Abraham said, whoa, I don't know, right? But I want you to watch what Abraham did. What a tremendous act of faith. I want you to keep your mind high and don't let it get in the gutter here. I want to tell you that the birth of Isaac was not an immaculate conception. Abraham went into Sarah, and they did what was natural sexually for marital couples to do, by faith, after their bodies was dead. So, oh, no, preacher. Oh, yes. He didn't stagger. See, faith has to be exercised to get strong. That's right. Notice again what the Bible says here, that verse number 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't look at his own situation and say, well, now, physically speaking, personally speaking, this can't be done. But he did say this in verse number 20. He staggered not at the promise of God. He said, God said it. It's going to happen. God said it. And so we're going to go through the normal process that God has given us. And he went into Sarah and she was with child. So don't you think now that this was some immaculate conception. It was not. Now the birth of Jesus was. But not the birth of Isaac. That's where the type breaks down. That's right. And so he said that he's able to do this. Let me give you a couple things and then we'll wrap this up. I want you to go back to Genesis. This is some of my favorite scripture in all the Bible. You know what God does when he wants to increase your faith? We'll go to Genesis 15. God done this for Abraham. God did this for Abraham. Can I tell you, God does this for me? God does this for you. I want you to think with me just for a moment. I'm going to be through here in about 5 to 10 minutes, but I want you to listen very carefully. All right? Listen very carefully. This is going to help somebody. God does this for us. God will tell us something. God will give us a promise. And then he'll show us his power to increase our confidence, increase our faith that God can perform his promise. You know, he did this to Abraham. It's always, do you have your hand there in Genesis 15? Turn it back, if you would, just for a moment. Hold your hand there in Genesis 15 and go to Genesis chapter 1. This is one of my favorite parts of creation, if not my favorite part. So I'm reading through the scriptures. I don't know. It's been quite a few years back. And I'm reading through, and I look down at this, and I see this, and I thought, wow. I mean, I got excited in my study. And I brought it to your attention on several occasions. So I'm reading through the account of creation, and then I see this, and I think, you know, that's just how God is. So God's talking about creating all these things, the lesser light, the greater light. In verse number 16, follow as I read. And God made two great lights, Genesis 1, verse 16, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. Now look at this next statement. He made the stars also. That is just, I don't know, that just does something for me. When you go up and you look and you think about all the myriad of star balls of fire in the sky. And God, I think it's like five words. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, five words, right? To describe making all that. Just five words. God said, oh yeah, by the way, I flung the stars into the sky. What power, brethren. What power. See, the next time the devil comes to you and tells you God can't, you take him and yourself to Genesis 1:16. He made all of that. And he said, oh, and by the way, that greater light and that lesser light, he made the stars also. You go out on a starry night. I used to do this often. I still do it from time to time. And I just look up and just look and I just think, Wow. Wow. My God did that. The God I'm asking to meet a need I have. The God I'm asking to work this situation out. To work in my granddaughter's life. To work in my son's life. My wife's life. My family's life. Our church. To get us across the street. To meet the need. To send in the necessary funds. That's the God we're asking, brethren. That's the God we're asking. We're not asking some bank. We're not asking some man. We're asking the God of heaven. You turn over to chapter number 15, and God did that to Abraham. He went to Abraham in chapter 15 of Genesis, and he told him, he said, Abram, he said, I want you to know I'm still right here with you. And Abram said in verse number 2, he said, God, he said, I'm still childless. He said, now I've got a steward in my house, Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold to me, now thou hast given me no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. He said, now this is not the promise. He said, I'm going to do what I said I was going to do, Abraham. Amen. I'm going to tell you what the devil will do. Now please hear me. The devil will try to get you to take second best. The devil will try to get you to settle for what's good instead of what's best when it comes to God. Don't you settle for anything less than God's best for your life. Don't you settle for anything less than God's best in your life. The devil will come and say, well, you know, maybe what God really meant was, and then he'll fill in the blank. But you listen to this preacher this morning. What God really meant is what God really said. And if God said you're going to have the promised seed, if God said you're going to have a son when you're 100 and your wife is 90, that is exactly what God means, amen. And if God said he's going to meet all of your need, then God's going to meet all of your need. And if God says that he's going to hear and answer your prayer, God's going to hear and answer your prayer. See, we try to justify ourselves out of believing what God really said, and maybe it's not meant for our day. And we go through this whole alignment of things and this smorgasbord of reasons why maybe it's not going to happen the way God said it was going to happen. But I'm here to tell you this morning again that God is going to have it to happen exactly like God said it was going to happen. And if we will just trust the promises of God, God will put his power on full display for us. Amen. Let us not limit the Holy One of Israel by our unbelief, as those in the day of the provocation did. But let us be strong in faith, giving glory to God. Are you in Genesis 15? You won't want to miss this. Because Abraham had begun to doubt, and he had begun to say, well, maybe what God meant was this, and maybe this will work out. And God said, Abraham, I need you to come outside. Look at verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad. I need you to step outside, Abraham. He said, I need you to look up toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. He said, Abram, I just want you to look up there. I did that. Don't ever doubt me again. Amen? Say, preacher, I don't see that. You're not reading close enough. Abraham's kind of, his flame's kind of flickering a little bit, and he said, well, maybe what you meant, God, was this. And he said, no, I meant what I said. That promise seed's coming from your loins, Abraham. Amen. And he said, I need you to step outside. I need you to look up there. He said, can you count those? No, sir. He said, okay. Don't ever doubt me again. That's what your posterity is going to be. Amen. God ever done that for you? Sure he has, if you've been paying attention. God will say, I need you to watch this family, or I need you to watch this situation, or I need you to look here, or I need you to read this account in the scripture so you can once again see what I'm capable of doing. Don't back off the promise. Now let's close here as we go back to Genesis. So what have we found out? Well, we found out that faith is a gift. Faith unleashes grace in our lives. And then it shows us the greatness of God. How great is God to you? You say, preacher, and we'll come back. We'll come back here next week, the Lord willing. How Great is God to you. I want to give you three words that will make God great and increase your faith. I hope you'll write them down. Number one, you need to read God's Word. The reason a lot of folks have lost the greatness of God is they've gotten out of the book of God. You get in the Word of God and you'll see how great God is. Amen. You start reading the Word of God and you'll see the greatness of God. It'll increase your faith. Number two, you know what Abraham did? Hebrews 11, he obeyed. That's the action word with Abraham. He obeyed. Don't just read the Word of God. Heed the Word of God. Doing what God says increases our faith. Because then we begin to say, you know what? I did what God said, and God did what He said He was going to do. It'll give you strengthened faith to do the next thing that God says to do. You with me, church? It's not easy. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. Is your faith strong? It's the only way to live the victorious Christian life now. You'll be defeated. You'll walk around with your head down and your heart heavy. You can live the victorious Christian life. I'm not saying you won't have any problems. I'm just saying that God will give you joy in the midst of your tribulation when you have strong faith. Read the Word of God. Heed. Do what God says, right? God said, I'm going to give you a promise seed. Abraham sat down in the chair and said, well, make it happen. Nope. He took Sarah to the bedroom and said, we're going to act on what God said. You listening to me? You have to act on what God said too. We have to heed what God says. Then number three, prove God. Prove Him. Group of people saying, we're not going to give because it doesn't pay to give. God said, well, I'll tell you what you do. You prove me. I'll open up the windows of heaven and I'll pour out a blessing on you that you won't even be able to receive it. Is that what He said? Read, heed, prove. Those are three great words to help us see God's greatness and allow us to have stronger faith. I want stronger faith. I believe you do too. Let's bow our heads as we stand to our feet. Saving faith. Strong faith. Saving faith will get you out of the unsaved category into the saved category. Strong faith will get you out of the defeat category into the victory category. All right? It takes faith. Let's bow our heads together. The pianist is going to begin to play. Did God speak to your heart this morning?